What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Avatar, The Last Airbender, the extended edition. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And we are here to break down episode one, Aang. For some of you, this will be welcome back.
But if you're new here, we are husband and wife that run two fandom podcasts together. Shell Cottage Radio, a Cozy Potter podcast, which is a Harry Potter podcast only.
And the extended edition, where we bounce from fandom to fandom, but often linger in a galaxy far, far away.
And we are recording this episode in February 2024, and they have just released the live-action show of Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix today. And we went ahead and watched the first episode, and of course we want to cover it right away because I am a huge fan of this show, of this whole story, of the characters, the music, the feels. I could go on and on and on. Because the original animated show was released first on Nickelodeon when I was 12 years old.
Jiminy.
The exact same age as Aang. And it was released actually in the US February 21st, 2025.
Okay.
So 19 years later. Little hint to our Harry Potter fans.
Ding.
And then it came out about a year later in Germany, where I was born, and there was a huge hype around it. And we were so excited because there were so many advertisements on Nickelodeon, and they actually had, I think this was the first time where I heard about a TV show releasing the first two or three episodes in the movie theaters. And I think we were contemplating, should we go or not? And we ended up not going, but we definitely watched the first couple of episodes right when they came out. So I watched the show while it was coming out. And back in the day, it was not released like this on Netflix where you can just binge all of it, but you have to wait for the next week and the next week and next week.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I watched the whole show. I loved it, and I rewatched it over the years probably 5 or 6 times.
Oh, come on. More than that.
My heart is absolutely in it. And I want to say, though, I only know the show and the lore that's talked about in the show. I know nowadays there is some books and whatnot around it that I have not read. So I don't know any of the Kyoshi. I know there's a Kyoshi book. I always see it on Audible all the time. It's being recommended. But the Kyoshi book, I don't know much
so
about that.
Maybe it's time then. It's
no,
time,
it is time.
Right? It is time. It is time. It's time for you to step up into those books and start reading. There's several, right? Isn't there more? Are there graphic novels, or is there?
I think so.
Yeah, it feels like there's more to this. I know there's another series even after what I've seen. I've only seen the first three seasons with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're such a huge fan that you were like, we're not getting married until you've seen this.
Oh, yeah, I introduced you to the show. Yep. Just like you introduced Star Wars to me, I thought I would at least have one thing that I could introduce to you that you have not seen, because you have definitely seen more movies and shows than I have.
Yeah, but no, this was a... Yeah, when you introduced me to Avatar, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. I actually just getting into it, I'm like, okay, cool, fine, whatever. It's a slow burner.
I know, I told you. It's the beginning is very much for kids in the animated show. We're going to get to the live action show here in a second, but tell us what you first thought of the
show. Well, no, just I wanted to mention that the first time you and I ever podcasted about anything whatsoever was actually after season 3 finale.
Mm-hmm.
We had just watched it. We were on I said, why don't you just, you have a microphone there. I had left my headset in Germany.
Yes.
And I said, just get on that. Let's just record something. And somewhere buried is an old, just my actual reaction to the whole thing, because I was blown. We blitzed through that final portion of season 3 and I was losing my mind. So needless to say, Lottie is a huge, huge, huge fan of Avatar. I've been brought along and I love it.
Yeah.
I understand now all of the hype and I get it. So once I got through the animated series, and we always are looking to, you know, we've always been like, we should get into it more. And now here it is on Netflix live action, and it is a sick show. It is, honest to God, really good. So
yes, let's dive right into it.
Yeah, so
some first impressions and...
First impressions, first initial reaction. I just want everyone to know, Lottie probably did cry, what, 2-3 times? Sorry to call you out. You can go ahead and call me out. Who also was tearing up during this first episode? I'll say it. I was tearing up a little bit. And if you weren't, then I don't know. I don't know. This is just not the show for you, because that was an emotional episode.
Absolutely.
Episode 1, Aang, is absolutely emotional. I don't remember all of the... This is just our raw reaction. I don't remember all of the ins and outs and how well it paralleled to the first several episodes of Season 1. And I know they did some stuff that was a little bit different, but the emotion and setting the stage in Episode 1 was wild. It felt like everything went full circle.
Yeah.
You really got introduced to the world. So if you have no idea what this is and you just jump into it, I feel like...
the conversation's really well led you into what is it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Explained the whole lore.
The history, right? Yeah, you already have now 100 years in terms of history and understanding of what's been going on, even though there's that brief intro in the animated series. It really lays it out there and you get this huge emotional connection to our characters.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I'm just going to say this right at the start. This is probably my favorite ever, like, first episode of a show that's already been produced somewhere.
Okay, yeah.
And now is, or you know.
Like a reproduction or a like
reproduction
a remaking.
Or a book that's been adopted. Yeah. You know, books and movies are always a little different. But yeah, a reproduction that was so well connected to the original and yet found a way to somehow condense it, yet expand on the important things and bring it all together, the first couple of episodes of season 1 in just one hour episode. And it was, I mean, they started it off a different way, but it all made so much sense to do it that way. And led even to newcomers, it was well explained, but to returning watchers who already know the show, you were kind of expecting, okay, we're going to start off at the South Pole, we're going to see Katara and Sokka. None of that. And this is full spoiler from now on. We're going to talk about exactly what happens in episode 1, right? So if you haven't seen it, you should probably watch it.
We just had an absolute, like, got off the couch, came over, turned on the mics and cameras, and here we are. So
Yes. So they start us off, instead of in Katara's and Sokka's timeline, they start us off 100 years ago on the day when the Fire Nation declares war and starts the war and starts their first attack against the Southern Air Temple. And it actually starts off with a really crazy scene. This earthbender is being chased by some Fire Nation guys because he has the secret plans to their attack. And he's going to smuggle it or bring it to the Earth Kingdom. And so they're prepared.
A warning.
He thinks.
Yeah.
He thinks.
Right.
And we already see this chase and some sick bending action happening, and you're thrown in right away. I love it. It's, again, as a returning fan, you're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You have no clue.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering.
Like,
I was
speculating. Like, are we bringing, like, is this a scene from later? Uh-huh. Or is this a guy we should know? No, it's just a really strong earthbender from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That we don't know.
Yeah. And he was powerful.
Yes, he was.
He was powerful. I mean, the stuff he was throwing down there just to get that message out was like, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then we find out Fire Lord Sozin. Mm-hmm. So Sozin is... he is not the grandpa, but the great grandpa to Zuko and Azula.
Yeah.
Because it's Fire Lord Sozin, Fire Lord Azulon, and then it's Fire Lord Ozai, which is the younger brother of Iroh.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which we will all learn probably later.
Yeah.
And then it's Zuko is his great grandson.
I am impressed that you're already remembering all these different
two
names.
Two generations ago.
You are smoking right now. You are like literally on fire. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, cause I was confused when we started, I was like, what is going on? Who is this guy? Where's
Sozin.
Our
yeah.
younger characters? And yeah, so
right.
I get it.
And they catch that earthbender. So his friend, he actually, is able to bring the plants to the Earth Kingdom, but he himself, the earthbender, is caught by the Fire Nation, by Sozin. And then he learns from the Fire Lord himself, thank you for doing that. This was our whole plan actually.
Yeah.
All along.
Dang.
Because they want, you said at first you actually understood what was going on before I did. What were they doing? What was the
secret? It was a setup. Yeah, it was a setup. I was so I was like, oh crap. I mean, as soon as he started talking, like the plans are going, they let them get away.
Right.
I mean, this is the classic thing from Star Wars. Like Princess Leia says to Han Solo when they get out the Death Star, they let us go.
Yeah.
Right? There's a tracker on us. Right. There's a setup here, and it's perfect way to start this off.
Yeah.
So yeah, the idea is that they're gonna take all of their warriors to the borders, that they're gonna basically prepare, get ready, all the attention will be on the Earth Kingdom, and that leaves other kingdoms areas vulnerable.
Unattended. And also the other nations will go and help the Earth Kingdom because they think, okay, this is the big kingdom that can withstand the Fire Nation, and they think the Fire Nation, whereas we have the water tribes and the air nomads, they're kind of scattered on the map, right? So everyone thinks they're going to attack the Earth Kingdom first because they're this other big nation that can actually hold their ground against them.
Right.
Can
I say, so
yes.
Just so being a novice, it is actually now making more sense, because when I first started watching all this, I thought, okay, you've got the Fire Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's a whole nation.
Right.
And then you've got the Earth Kingdom,
right.
which is a huge kingdom.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you've got the water tribes. A tribe is a much smaller thing, and right, and then you've got your the nomads. And you
yes.
think of nomads being sort of like in isolation, like very smaller in number and spread out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I always thought of them as more all like four kingdoms, but I mean they are, but they aren't, right? So they're just,
right.
just the way that they title them is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So Fire Nation, Earth Kingdom, and then Water Tribe, and then the Air Nomads.
Yes, and in one of the Southern Air Temples, that's where we start our adventure with Aang during his time when he actually was supposed to grow up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he was 12 years old, just playing with his friends and being trained by his master, Gyatso, and they were all getting ready for a festival. Aang tells Katara later he is friends with the Fire Nation. He has friends there and they visit each other all the time. So they're just celebrating a huge festival for the comet that's about to arrive. The comet, we know, is enhancing the Fire Nation's skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fire bending is stronger when there's a comet arriving. And we learn that there is a comet coming later as well, probably at the end of this season.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're getting ready for this huge festival. Aang can't wait. He's just having fun. He's running around. And they capture that so well. I was wondering, how are they going to realize airbending, right? In live action, how do you show airbending?
Oh, how do you show it? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because in the anime show, you can kind of show the air. You actually see the air balls that they have underneath them when they ride them.
Right.
And I think they did that so well. Because you can kind of tell, but it's not visible.
Yeah, it's still blurry, air. And it looks, yeah, it looks
you
like
can see
it,
the air currents.
It looks real. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the thing, is that the visual effects look really good. When we started with the earthbender and the Firebenders, like that was legit in the beginning. Yes. It was very high definition, really good detail. And so then you're right. Yeah. As you continue to the Air Nomads, they did a great job with their bending and the visual effects.
Yes. Oh, what I forgot. I loved when they did the whole here Fire Nation is declaring war, and then over to the Air Temple. In between, they explained the Avatar and that he or she's supposed to bring balance to the world, but it was Kyoshi, Avatar Kyoshi, who explained that to you. I thought it was really neat. Anyway, so overall, actually, we were just going to talk about our first impression, but overall, the first impression was phenomenal of the first couple of scenes. The costumes also look amazing, I think. Clothes of the Air Nomads look so real and so well connected to the original show. And also the water tribe that we see later on. I just, the red and yellow plus the blue and white from the water tribe, it just looks so great together.
Yeah, it was really sharp. I mean, yes. I think Aang looked really sharp when he was there at the village and stuff. So
the tattoos look great.
Oh my gosh, there's some high definition on those. And especially when they light up, I was like, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. We get to see a bunch of that in this episode. We got to see Avatar state like crazy.
We did.
So I was surprisingly shocked, already. Shocked, actually. And one of your biggest things, I think, and I don't know where you're at in your outline here, but is the music.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that they picked up the original music, lots of it. They changed it a little bit, but I think the music is one of the biggest, strongest pieces of the original show. And I would have thought, yeah, if they go with a different music, it has to live up to the old music, or it has to be somewhat the same theme.
Yeah.
Because the music had such a strong emotional connection to the whole show.
Right.
Especially when they do the Acne Kai, like the fights they do.
Yeah.
Or when Avatar State, like there's a certain music that hits whenever the Avatar State comes up, right? Just like the theme of the Force will show up in the later shows. In Rebels, you will hear it again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a theme that just has to come back. If it's Star Wars, you need to hear it. It's such a strong connection.
As soon as it came on, and I mean, you literally put your arm up and you're like, goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Like, goosebumps all over the place. And I was like, wow. And we were just sort of emotional the whole first part of that. I mean, when he's talking to his master, Jiminy.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, I will always be your friend.
Yeah.
Always.
Monk Gyatso said that.
Something about that. Something.
Almost like he knew.
And that, oh my gosh, it just. And especially when he said the line, something like, there'll come a day when you'll wish that you had spent more time with your master.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he's just laughing, saying that he has no idea, but that's just wisdom, right? Yeah. That's for all of us. There will come that time where people who we love may be gone.
Yeah.
And so you can instantly start to connect to this in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Even though it's like they've got powers and they're in a very different world and stuff, but there's all this real good human connection, master apprentice, as well as like young kids. It feels relatable in a weird way, even though it's like they're the Air Nomads. What? I mean, it's wild, but they're still running around playing, and there's just, it's cool. Loving it so far.
They did change a little bit the timing of this, because in the original show, Aang doesn't, about the war, he doesn't really know. His master tells him just a little bit that there's conflict arising. They haven't officially started the war yet, but they know it's about to come upon them, and that's why they pressure him. You need to tell Aang who he really is, because Aang doesn't know. And we learn this in this episode. He's told he's the Avatar, the master of all four elements, the one who brings peace and balance to the world.
Yeah. I have to say, the acting in this is also really good.
It is.
For younger actors, I was shocked, actually, because Aang's emotion, like just the look on his face when he's told this, the drop in his gaze and everything, and his demeanor, his face, you just watch it and you're like, wow, this is really kind of like soaking in. Yeah. And I felt, you know, there's going to be some awkward delivery and awkward moments with, and it's meant to be like that. It's a Nickelodeon thing, right? I mean, it's okay. But I thought when the moments were serious and they needed to be really good and the acting needed to really step up and convey a lot of emotion, these actors, these kids are doing a great job.
Yes.
Doing a great job. I was like, wow. It's easy to draw that, right, as an adult into these. Well, not easy, I shouldn't say. But like when we were watching the animated series, like you have a lot of control over those things that you want to kind of convey. These kids, these actors need to bring it, and they need to bring it out. And already they're doing it. And it's just, and now we're only in episode one. And
I know.
I'm floored. I was floored. I was like, okay, let's record. We got to get back to episode two. But I mean, yeah, like there's so many good moments and good parts in this that I'm.
Yes, it's so packed because we start off with Aang learning that he's the Avatar. Then he goes on. He needs to get away from everyone. He says, I don't want this power. I just want to be a normal kid.
Yeah.
I love banana cake. I love running around playing airball. I'm not someone who saves the world.
Yeah. No.
So he wants the classic. He just wants to escape from his responsibility that he never asked for.
Yeah, he never asked for it. And he's also, as you said, he's a kid. And this all happens very fast, very, very quickly, very unexpected. And so, you know, Sokka later, when he calls him a coward, kind of a little harsh, buddy. But I mean, this all, it was cool for us, the audience, to be able to see what that was like and go, you guys don't get it. You don't get it. You will hear in a little bit. And at the end of the episode, when they go back, he sees the ruins, right, of his temple.
Yeah.
It really sinks in, I think, for them. I think for Katara and Sokka, they're like, wow.
It's okay. So full circle that they did that in this episode, that they started off at the air temple where we see him thriving nation, his friends, his master. And then at the end, in the same episode, he revisits that place and like sees, you know, the skeleton of his master.
I mean, who wouldn't go into Avatar state at that point, though? Yeah. He does go straight into Avatar state. Don't blame him at all. But one thing I want to back up a little bit that was really cool. So
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going to get to everybody's favorite character, Uncle Iroh, here in a second.
Some
of you thought I was going to say, I mean, Uncle Iroh is my guy. Like, whoo, love that character. Yeah. But Sokka was never, I know kids love, he can be annoying and funny and all those different things. He's a lot of emotions.
Yes.
And they use him in a lot of different ways in the animated series. And this kid is killing it. I think he's doing a great job because you were like, he has to be funny.
I know. Before, and like the first time we saw him, I didn't see him yet. I just noticed, oh my gosh, he has to really get into the Sokka. Like everything that Sokka does is, like you said, a range of emotions, but he's also the funny guy. And not to make it ridiculous, but like actually like deliver the lines so they hit home. And
he
absolutely nailed it.
For sure. I want to say to the cast, too, we're going to get acclimated on everybody's names and stuff and get used to these new individuals because we just dove into this and we're kind of blown away. We weren't even so sure we were going to be over here on the microphones, but it's that good that we were like, let's go.
Emotions are running
high. So we will get acclimated on it because I'm like, I'm wanting to know everything about all these different individuals now because they're so cool. They're doing such a good job. But that moment, though, when Zuko shows up and he's outside the gates, and you can see it, there's this sort of like fear, like what is going on? He's still very much a kid.
Yeah.
And Sokka was left in charge.
Yes.
And holy smokes, he steps up. I mean, again, unfortunately, you know, I think had Aang been there, right, and somehow even survived the temple attack or whatever, he would be a lot like them. He happened by circumstance to be away from all of that, got caught in a storm, unfortunately, and couldn't make it back, and was just trying to get some air, right? Clear his mind.
Yeah.
Get some air. Wow. I think they inspire him a little bit, which is pretty cool, because he's the Avatar, but yet he's inspired by them.
Yeah.
And Sokka, for sure, because he steps out, he's like, no one's ever done that for me. No one's ever fought for me.
Yeah.
And really challenged him to single combat.
Well, yes, because you're right, because he was the one who was supposed to fight for everybody. Now here's this other kid fighting for him, but who actually initiated it? It was Katara. Sokka in the end stepped up,
right?
It is Katara who changed his mind. And now we're full on into South Pole, Southern Water Tribe. And I love how they changed the scene and atmosphere of the ship. The battleship that was stranded in the Southern Water Tribe,
Where she's waterbending.
Exactly. Yeah. For her, it's a place of what do you call it? Where you just go and retreat. Retreat.
Yeah, sure. She solitude.
It's quiet here.
Yeah.
I can do my bending without anyone watching me. In the other show, no one would go near that ship, and they accidentally, when Aang was there, he was just like daring her to go on the ship and let's explore. And
yeah.
They were accidentally firing some of the old flares or like fireworks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they accidentally set those off. And that's how, again, Zuko was drawn in even more.
Right,
something was going on.
You know, so, I mean, that's a great point because that's a place of, I mean, that symbolizes sort of like destruction and it's a scar, right, near their tribe.
Yep.
And for her to go there and face those fears and to be also water bending in defiance in that ship is it's pretty cool. It's a really clever way, I think, to kind of, I think where they made changes and altered things, they did it in a way that was super respectful and super and really, I don't know, amplified the emotion or the message or theme in that moment.
Yes.
So I'm
very well put.
Yeah. Just blown away. But because I thought, I don't know, like I saw there was 8 episodes. And I was like, it's gonna be a lot to cram in 8 episodes. What are they doing the whole season or whatever? And they are just nailing it. I think we're gonna come to a point where you were kind of pointing out the differences to me in terms of like what happened in the animated series, then how they cut some of that out. And I had to kind of think, they actually do go on Zuko's ship later for the rescue mission, but they decide not to do that.
Right. To save them some time. And they still show us enough of the ship and the, you know, Uncle Iroh and the room that Zuko stays in and what's, you know,
the obsession.
The obsession. Yep. What kind of person is Zuko at that moment? And I love how they also, the Water Tribe always felt like Southern Water Tribe. There's not much there. I felt like they expanded on that in a very cool way. They actually have this bigger igloo or tent where everyone meets, like kind of like a commons area where they talk, all of them talk to Aang.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool where there was old, we see it right now actually, where Gran-Gran explains the history.
Good old
again,
Gran-Gran.
And she remembers.
That was another chill moment.
Yes.
I was getting chills when she spoke. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
She tells the history and takes us back through kind of the intro to the episodes, right?
Yes.
Like, and you're like, okay. And you could see it again on Aang's face and everyone's sort of like looking back at him like, it's also just, I think, super, I mean, in a weird way, it's like, it's cool that you're right there with this water tribe who is seeing that to them, the air nomads are like the airbenders are
legends. They're only myths, legends.
Myths, like they're no more.
Yep.
And here's one. Just
probably
way out of place.
And one of the strongest ones ever.
Right. Yeah. It's so wild.
And then Zuko arrives. They have that fight. Sokka steps up. He has no chance because he has no bending. That's his whole arc, right? He's a warrior. He's always been a warrior. He had to step up for his dad, but he never had those bending powers. And he tells Katara, even hide your bending powers. That's everything he learned when he was little.
Yeah.
His tribe was eradicated. All the women were eradicated because of bending. So to him, it symbolizes something that he, A, quite doesn't understand, and B, is scared of because it meant it had so many negative consequences for his tribe and family. And here he easily gets beat by Zuko, of course, who's been training all his life for this moment to catch the Avatar. And he expected someone old, well trained for 100 years, he was ready to fight, and then this kid comes along.
Yeah,
right. He's just a kid, but
right.
Man, that was the moment when I got chills. Is when Aang, he just like shows all his bending powers, and then but he knows they are outnumbering him, and he wants to protect now the ones that protected him. Katara is like, we gotta save him.
Mm-hmm.
Sokka, you see it in his face. He's like, no,
He knows.
He doesn't even say it, but he just gives all responsibilities to the next oldest boy in the tribe. They're boys. They're just kids, actually. They just are growing up, but he's now the oldest of the tribe.
Yeah, it is kind of, it's funny because they're like, it's such a meager defense, and he is in charge of the defenses, Sokka, and he's giving these last parting words and this instruction, and I sometimes think about it in legendary terms, which is like, you know, the children of that village will remember the great Sokka who like defended them and went after. And to us, he's kind of silly, the silly character. But to them, he's their hero.
Oh, when they come back, he is the hero who brought back the Avatar and helped him to bring peace and balance to the world. I mean, he and his sister are the biggest heroes of that tribe.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's cool.
It's so awesome. Yeah, I love the Water Tribe.
Yeah, we got it over here on the side. We almost
can't stop. We're always peeking over there.
Yeah, visually it is it's stunning because we keep looking over and just blown away. Appa. Haven't said Appa yet.
Oh, he looks so good. I always think it's magic. How do they do that? That he looks real, and when Aang is cuddling him, he
would have been hugged his nose, and I was like, that looks so real.
It looks so good. How do they do that?
I don't know, but it's
great.
I can't wait for all the ambience videos to come out.
I know.
Chill with Appa, you know?
I love it. So. But let's talk about one more thing that you noticed and you talked about something that you think is really cool. When Aang is on the ship, the Fire Nation ship, on Prince Zuko's ship, he is in his cell. And who visits him? And this is, again, a little different from the original show, which I like this change so much, that they meet and talk for the first time so early on. Mm-hmm. Uncle Iroh visits him in his cell.
Which, by the way, we haven't really decided. We're so anxious to get in here and record and just talk about this together and to share with you guys our excitement that we didn't really decide whether we're going to, like, go into full spoilers for, you know, whether you've seen it. Because some people might have not. They might not know these characters, might all just be brand spanking new to them. And I almost said some major spoiler for him that I was like, I guess.
So should we not talk
about
that?
No, I guess I should just tell people that, like, we are going to spoil stuff. I don't know how we're not going to, because I'm not as fluent in this universe to not stumble and say something that is spoiler, because I just about did. So. Yeah. In case you've never seen it and you're like, you know, I really just want to go and watch that and not have it spoiled, thanks for the download and come back when you're done and let's talk. Because there's something going on here. The reason they put this in early is foreshadowing. Yes. They are foreshadowing right out the gate. Because actually in the animated series, the way they do it is in Uncle Iroh's nature is very laid back, calm. He knows what is going on between the Fire Lord and Zuko. Like he understands the dynamic between father and son. He understands why he's on this impossible mission. He alludes to it in this episode. And then when he goes in, you can just see it in his face, like that he recognizes the Avatar and what that means to him. And he's very clever. There's a guard. They put a guard right there so he can't speak openly, freely, necessarily. And you might think, well, what are you getting at there, Ez? Well, that's the spoiler, is that I don't want to go into all of it, but to me, that is exactly why why they put that scene in there. They put it in there to show us something about that character, that he came with a reverence to the Avatar. And he was very clever about how he worded things and offered him tea. And that's also a thing that they do in a lot of mythologies. Once you, when you offer your enemy or your prisoner, like food or tea or whatever, you've basically granted them safe stay.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So, like, they're under your protection, if you will. And that was Uncle Iroh. So, I love it. I love him. And I love that's Captain Teeva in Star Wars, by the way, just so you guys know. So,
huge Star Wars connection here.
Really cool. And again, like we said, we're going to be diving into all these different actors. I got them all pulled up here, and we're going to be
very good
digging into them later. So, but yeah, it was a great scene for me, and I love his character and I love his arc, and I'm ready.
And when Aang asks him, "Is that what you believe?" after he told him, "We need you to get you to the Fire Nation because that's how we end the war." You mean the end of the war? And Aang's like, "Is that what you believe?" And Iroh doesn't really answer his question. He just say, "Oh, I must leave now. But I look forward to many more conversations with you, Avatar."
Yeah, I mean, it's just well done. It's just so well done. And there's not much of him. There's not much of him in this episode, and that's good.
Yeah.
I think his presence will start to grow.
Yeah.
Zuko is way more important. Getting to know him and his backstory and his obsession and stuff is going to be, I think, more important.
Yes. Front end. And like we said, they left out the whole fight on the ship. It's just Aang would have escaped almost on his own. He gets shot down by Zuko, and then Appa shows up and Katara kind of catches him midair. And then there's one final shot that they try to shoot Appa down, but then Katara, they had this moment earlier in the ship, in the ship that was stranded, where Aang helped her explore her powers as a bender.
Find balance.
Find balance. Let go, right? And then in that moment, she just...
It was easy.
easily. They were up in the air and she just shot some water up to combat that fire.
There's a reason I on one viewing of this, when the animated TV show, when you took me through it, why I started to connect to it like in such a crazy way. And they did it in that moment where Aang is sort of training or passing on the knowledge of his masters to her.
Yeah.
And how what they taught him about seeking balance. And everything that's going on in Star Wars right now is about that master-apprentice relationship, right? And that the apprentice is the master and the master's master and the master's master.
Oh, it's so great.
And it's awesome. It's all there right here in this show.
This is full of these master-apprentice relationships. Yeah. They all find their masters, even Sokka.
Yeah, even Sokka. I know. I thought about that earlier.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, gosh.
Anyway, at the end, they come back, like I said, full circle. They go back to the air temple. Aang has his moment. It's terrible, emotional. He enters the Avatar state. And this is probably, for me, the only moment. I was not so sure how they did that. That was the only moment. There's so much I loved. Mm-hmm. And again, this is all coming from a standpoint of a consumer. How do I like the show? How do I enjoy the show?
Sure. Yeah.
And it's been so mind-blowingly good this first episode. I'm so happy with it. That was the only little moment where I thought, okay, is when he's up in the air. And I already thought, how is Katara going to reach him? Because she
kind of did, though.
She used to just hold his hand, and that touch was what brought him back.
They're not there yet. It's happening. It's okay.
Right?
It will happen.
She just called out his name.
Yeah.
And then he heard Katara at the same time remembered his master, Kyatso, and said, I'm always going to be your friend. Mm-hmm. So the theme of friendship is what brought him back down to earth, and he could brought balance, basically, in that moment.
Yep, restored him to balance.
Yeah.
She was calling out his name, and again, there's these are his new friends, and they've stood up and they've fought for him.
Yeah.
And so now he's got to, he's processing, right, the loss of all of his other friends and masters and teachers and family.
Which is not easy. Yeah, he lost everyone.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to process that, and then he's going to essentially honor them through everything that he's going to do.
He realizes he has to fulfill his role now. He has to step up.
Yep.
Katara and Sokka know we need to guide this, or we have to help him with that. We can't go back. We also am going to endanger everyone we know if we bring Aang back to the Water Tribe. So they know they have to now begin this journey where Aang has to find masters, go learn mastering all the other elements. Too many L's in there.
Too many L's.
Which kind of sets us up for the whole rest of this season.
Yeah.
And show.
It does. And so with that, I think we're again, just overly excited and just had to get our thoughts out here to you guys because I'm really excited. I honestly got a little emotional a few times when the music kicks in and there were just some epic moments. People are already invested because once Netflix got a hold of the animated series back in the day, it blew up again. I mean, so for, I think, younger sort of fans of the show who grew up with it like you, then it came back out and there was a second boom to this. And I'm really, really, really glad that they capitalized on this live action. Yeah. So we're, again, hopefully by episode 3 or 4, we're not changing our tune. I don't think we're going to, which is sort of we jumped on here. But we will definitely be back. We're going to kind of take it episode by episode and just binge it this whole weekend and then drop all these episodes for you guys, which to our friends who are our Star Wars listeners on this channel, we will be back. We have seen Bad Batch, just so you know. So season 3 is out.
Yes.
And we've watched the first 3 episodes.
Fantastic.
But just so we didn't have to drop a Bad Batch episode and then drop all the all the Avatar stuff and they'd be all like separated, we're going to binge the Avatar and then we are going to get into Bad Batch season 3. So stay tuned for that. All right, friends, thanks for extending your Avatar experience with us. We are jumping off here and right back into episode 2, Warriors. Stay tuned for more. If you have thoughts and you'd like to share those with us, then send us a message to theflannelwizard@gmail.com. That'll get you stuck. That Gmail, and for some of you guys who know, I am the Flannel Wizard. I have had that Gmail for quite some time. I love it. And I do check it. So please, if you have messages about, I guess, anything really that's not Star Wars related, send it there, if that makes sense.
That and makes then, a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I'm going to be doing a lot of Star Wars stuff, and I still want folks emailing me at StarWarsHangout77. So two emails for you now to hit up. Or follow us over on social media at The Extended Edition.
Yes, and if you're interested in Harry Potter as well, we have, like we said in the beginning, an all Harry Potter podcast. It's called Shell Cottage Radio. Or check out on YouTube The Extended Edition, where we post a lot of Harry Potter and Star Wars content. And maybe in the future, some Avatar content. Some, what else do we have? Some House of the Dragon content.
Oh, yeah.
Some Lord of the Rings content.
Rings of Power. Oh, yeah. Yep. It's all coming down the line. Yep. So. So we're excited, friends. And yeah, we kind of just surprise dropped this on everybody. So I feel like people who got to the end of this are going to be like, Ez and Lottie, what the heck? Yeah. Sorry, friends. We just changed everything. Too many things we want to talk about. And I just figured what better way to do it than just to kind of take this podcast and just go crazy.
This was fun, though.
So. Yes, I know. Let's get back over here and watch episode 2. we will see you guys in just a little bit. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time. And remember, yip, yip.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.